We've been working through the process of what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? We are called to be a disciple. We started on the invitation. Well, we started setting the base groundwork, you might say. But then we got into the point where we talked about the invitation. We are invited, and I would say expected, to step into the role of being a disciple. And then we talked last week about counting the cost and focus our attention on the fact that there is a cost to follow the Lord. And we're going to look at it more so today in the decision, because the bottom line is intentional discipleship doesn't begin until we respond and commit to the process. Intentional discipleship doesn't begin until we respond and commit to the process. And what is that process? It's the discipleship process, to be with Him, become like Him, and do what He does. That's the expectation that He has of everybody. I know we don't always say amen. I know we don't always say everything. But would you please join me in saying everybody? Everybody is called to be a disciple. You are called not to just give your life to Jesus in a prayer, but to be with Him, and that will show up as becoming like Him, and that will lead into doing things the way He does things. And that's His call, His challenge for all of us. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I do wonder how many of you took some time this week, as I challenged you to analyze your walk with Jesus in light of the things that we discussed last Sunday. Because last Sunday we talked about some very important areas where we need to count the cost and see where we're at. Now, everybody, everybody in this room could be a Christian. Every one of you could love the Lord. But we all need to be honest and realize that we need to periodically do an inventory of where we're at with the Lord. We need to spend some time with Him and let Him spotlight things that might need to be adjusted in our walk. But I ask you to analyze things last week. And so here's the things that I was hoping you would look at. Do you love Him more than you love everything else? Because He says, if you don't, you're not His disciple. Have you taken up your cross? Have you fully surrendered so that you die to self to be alive in Christ? Have you done that? Are you fully His? Whatever He wants from you, that's what He's going to get. Because if not, you've disqualified yourself from being a disciple. And then, of course, have you come to the reality that following Jesus means that you want Him and His will more than the acceptance, more than wealth, more than success, more than your own personal happiness? You want what He wants more than those things that we by nature are sort of raised to want for ourselves. Because if these things are not there, we're disqualifying our discipleship process. And that's not what He wants for us. I told them in the first service, I said, you know, sort of Christianity has been reduced to just the bare minimum. And it reminds me of when I was a youth pastor, and we used to do things like, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? I mean, we basically have taken it and it's just come down, well, we love Jesus. Folks, what a simple and yet totally missing it. Because to just say, I love Jesus, can be defined in a million ways. And unfortunately, most of the ways in which we define that we love Jesus is in terms that we like. And that's where we're going to talk today, because being a disciple is God's will, but our decision. It's God's will, but it's our decision And I pray that we make that decision. And to help us today, we're going to look at some scriptures. Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Now, the first thing this passage identifies is this verbal break between the mentality that you call him Lord, but you don't do what he says. That's where, unfortunately, the church is falling into. We call him Lord, but we do what we want to do. We call him Lord, but we don't do the things that the Bible clearly tells us. That is the break. Discipleship is not in the category of the ability to just say, yeah, I love Jesus, and I'm just going to live with this person because I like him. I love Jesus, and I'm just going to pop in every now and then when it's convenient. I love Jesus, but you know what? Don't get between me and the lake on a good day to fish. Whatever. A disciple is one who comes to Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and does what Jesus did. I'm going to say that until you wake up in the middle of the night going, a disciple is one who comes to Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and does what he did. What? We've got to change the church culture. We've got to get it to where it needs to be. We've got to get back to discipleship. Jesus clearly identifies that the first one he talks about is a genuine disciple. And how do we know that? Because he uses terminology very similar to this phrase I'm using over and over about being a disciple. He says it like this: everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. That's exactly what his expectations are for every person in this room, is that you come to him, you hear his words, you do them. Everyone who comes to him, that's step one. Giving your life to Jesus Christ. But here's my words. We discussed that. And back a couple of weeks ago in Matthew 11, 29, we talked about learns from him. It's not about just learning information, but learning from him his way. And that's step two. And then does them. Does what Jesus did. Step three. That is a disciple. Guess what? He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. I appreciate that in the translation they did not put a rock, but the rock. I think today so many people are building on something, and maybe they found a rock, and it's about that big. But they're not finding the rock. The foundation that will create the stability that you need. Disciples build their lives on the rock. What is the rock? It is Christ. It is the character of Christ. It is the words of life that Christ gives us. That's the rock that you got to get down to and build upon. Today, basically, we're going to semi-wrap up this first part of the discipleship, becoming, coming to him and understanding what it means. And then we're going to start shifting over into becoming like him and what that sort of looks like. But I want you to get this first part down rock solid. You have an invitation. And the invitation was not, pray and ask me to be Lord of your life. The prayer was, surrender to the Lord, and then begin a journey with the Lord. The journey is part of the invitation, not just to acknowledge him, but to declare him Lord. We are in a culture today that is basically the opposite side of discipleship. And the reason why it's on the opposite side is because discipleship doesn't fit in when our mentality is me, 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 me. When it's about me and I and my wants and my likes and my preferences and all that kind of stuff, then discipleship gets placed over to the side. Because what do we know about a disciple? A disciple loses his identity in Christ. So it's about him. The disciple doesn't come up to Jesus and say, hey, let me tell you what we're doing today, Jesus. No, the disciple comes to the Lord and says, Lord, what are we doing today? Because you are living in a submission to him. And I would challenge everybody possibly in this room, how easy is it to get up and start every day and never stop and say, Jesus, what are we doing today? Lord, I just want to do the things. I know I've got things I need to do, and I got to go to work. But Lord, even when I go to work, what is it you're wanting to accomplish on this day? That's the life of a disciple. That's not the life of most Christians in church, because we don't see that as a part of the plan of God. It's sad because, listen, if you think things are bad now, just wait till everything that can be shaken is shaken. When everything that has that can be shaken is shaken, folks, then only what is unshakable will remain. And that will be Christianity that's built upon the rock and not churches that are doing whatever they want to do. Jesus clearly tells us right here in Luke 6 that his disciples will be safe no matter what happens because they have dug down to the rock. They have put a foundation upon who he is. You know, if Jesus had not have said that, then we would have an excuse. And we could go, well, you know, I think it's all right to do it this way, and I think it's all right to do that way, and I don't think you got to take it too serious. But Jesus was very clear that you go all the way down to the rock. You build upon the truth of who Jesus is. The rock is his character. It is his teachings. It's who he is. That's what we have to get back to. Not just what we like, but what he is, or who he is, and what he wants, which is the starting point. And I've said this, and I continue to say it, fully committed means fully surrendered. And what Christ has called us to, and that's the reason why I am so anti pray a prayer and say, Jesus be Lord. And I am 100% confident that it's over here where we say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Because the difference is night and day in how we interpret that. One, we're trying to add Jesus in. The other, we're losing our life to follow after him. That's what we have to do. A fully committed life is a fully surrendered life. And I don't think you have to have a whole lot of knowledge to actually stop and be looking at your life and going, I'm not really surrendered. But the good news is you can make that decision. You can change the direction of your Lord. But in contrast to that side of it is the other side who call him Lord but does not do what he tells them to do. Hello, America. We call him Lord, but we don't do what he says. We don't change our life to align with the Word of God. We don't let the Holy Spirit work conviction inside of us and say, no, that's wrong. No, that's a bad choice. No, that's not how you're going to live and be a child of God. But it's necessary. But when we are those who say Lord, but we don't do what he says, how's it going to end? How's it going to end? It's going to be disastrous. If Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, wait till you see what your life will be like when the storms and adversities begin to pound against it and you don't have Jesus as the cornerstone of your life. Your life is not built upon the Word and the foundations of God. When that happens, you're going to crumble. It's the way it is. How many of you watched any of the videos of the I guess it was a hurricane, but now it's a, they call it a storm, whatever, number three storm. Any of you seen the videos of what's been happening out there? Folks, we need to pray for them. There's millions of people who are affected by this. Flooding has just totally picked up houses and washed them away. And I guarantee the one video I was looking at where, you know how they build those houses on those nice big sticks so that when the water is getting high, you know, yeah, that's just like saying, here, come get me. Because, boy, when they get pounded, all they've got is a few sticks. I think that's what people are going to find out who have been saying, Jesus is my Lord. I love Jesus. When that hits, they're going to be just like that. Their sticks are going to start snapping and crumbling. And next thing you know, they're going to be wallowing in pain and suffering. And it never had to be that way. But if you go the easy way up front, you will get the hard way in the end. But if we make the hard decisions now, when the storms begin to blow, we have a promise that we will not fall. The result of any life that's built upon something or anything other than obedience to God, to Jesus, His instructions, it will be disastrous. And I want you to please, 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 you may say, Pastor, you're just pounding on this. Well, I'm about to stop pounding. Next Sunday, we'll go a different direction. You may be coasting, and you may, in your heart and your mind, you're going, you know, it's just not been that bad. And it's true. Sometimes you can coast a long ways. When I went to fifth grade and sixth grade, I rode my bicycle. We had a quarter of a mile hill after you left the school. Now, going to school every morning, it was tough. There was no gears. But coming home, I get a good head of speed on that, and I could go a half mile before I had touched my pedals. It may seem like, oh, it's going good. But friend, the Word says, there is coming a time when it will be disastrous. And you could be right there, right now. You're thinking, it's not that bad. You know, I'm loving the Lord, and I do things when it fits in, and I follow the Word when it works. And, you know, I have a quiet time with the Lord every now and then, and all of those things. But listen, if you're not on the rock, there is coming a time when it's going to start crumbling around you. Your only hope is to get serious, dig down there, and get in the truth and build upon the Word of God, Christ Jesus. We've got to. All right. I don't know if I have this in your notes or not, but your declaration that He is Lord will not protect you when your choices are going the opposite direction than what He wants you to go. You can say, Lord, Lord, all you want to. But on shifting sand, there's going to be a disastrous time. All right, so today's passage gives us real clearly, there's two choices. They have very different results, don't they? One choice is easy, cut corners. I don't need to build on a rock. Look at this nice loose sand. I can square up my everything so easy in this loose soil. I don't need a rock. When we cut corners, we are failing to do it the right way. We are going with our desires, which is, I just like it to keep it easy. I don't necessarily think I have to be obedient. I mean, come on. Nobody really lives obedient to Jesus anymore. It doesn't matter if the majority of the people who go to church don't even think about truly obeying God. They just want to be a Christian and live as conveniently as it does. It doesn't matter, folks. Please listen. All America can be wrong. God's going to be right. Every church in America can have a cross up there and be preaching some kind of social gospel, and there will be a day when it's shaken and it'll crumble and it'll have nothing to give the people when everybody's life is falling apart. It'll have nothing to give because it's got nothing in it. Doesn't matter what we see in this culture. The truth of the reality is unless we get up on the truth and the rock of Jesus Christ, we are in sinking sand. Just a matter of a storm. That's the other path. It's the harder path. It requires a decision. It requires a commitment. You know, I would like to say that, hey, one shovel of dirt and boom, there's a rock. But sometimes you got to dig a ways. Sometimes that rock's a little further down there. But you got to get to it to build upon it. But it will bring the long-lasting rewards. So you got an easy way, you got a hard way, and it's all your choice. You got a decision. You pick which one you want to go. You pick which life you want to live. But before you make a decision, I want to show you another passage that Jesus gave to us to help us. Matthew 7:13. It says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. But those who find it are few. You know what I really love about the Lord? Is he gives you the answer right up front. Enter the narrow gate. There's two paths out there, but I want to tell you right up front, the narrow gate's the right one. You need to enter the narrow gate. But again, it's our decision. Two paths, two results. One's easy. It's enjoyable. It must be because everybody's on it. It's got to be a popular way because, I mean, you just look at the crowd. It's easy to run on the broad way. Easy. But it has a terrible destination. Remember that hill I told you about? My buddy came over. We were going down that hill together. His foot slipped off the pedal and he jerked his handlebar. And I'm going to say he was probably doing 20-something miles an hour. Tore him up. Coasting's all well and good until something goes wrong. There's an easy path. Christianity is running down the easy path. And because the destruction has not hit us yet, we think it's going to be okay. It's not. Destruction is coming. And I don't think that destruction is just hell. I think it will be a destruction in this lifetime. Folks, I'm telling you, you can be coasting and everything can be fine. And you have this ideology that you have given the Lord everything when actually all you did was give him your sins and ask for his forgiveness. And you can think everything's going to be just fine and dandy. And then all of a sudden, hell breaks loose. And your marriage is in trouble. Your kids have left the faith. Nobody around you seems to be there when you need them. And whatever you want to put the scenario in. But the end of the story is the fact that all of a sudden, it's like your life is falling apart at the seams. See, it's not just hell that waits. It's destruction and things falling apart. That's the reason why we've got to get everybody that understands we've got to get back to the rock. We've got to be the disciple that we're called to be so that something I keep saying this, but folks, listen, the dominoes are falling like this. There has got to be some place, sometime, somewhere where that one domino has found the rock and says, it stops here. Let's get this going back in the other direction. God will help us, folks. I believe that. Anyway, the other way is hard. It requires precision, focus, intentionality. And you know what? And there's not a lot of people on it. And it's really simple to know why, because it's not much fun compared to the other one. In our natural views, they don't look at it as desirable, easy, but it leads to destruction, hard, but it leads to life. So how about we just create a new path in the middle? How about we don't want it too broad, but then we don't want it too narrow, because we don't want everybody to shun it, not want it. So how about we just find some kind of compromise in the middle and say, let's do that. God never gave us that ability to choose and create your own way. What do? We create our own way. What's everybody doing? Creating their own way. I'll take a little bit of Jesus, and I'll take a little bit of philosophy, and I'll take a little bit of culture ideology, and I'll take a little, I don't know that. That's right and wrong. I don't know that in my Jesus. And we create this middle path, and we think it's going to be all right. Listen, if it's not narrow, and if it's not difficult, it's not going to lead you into the life that Jesus is promising. And I want you to get this. This life is abundant living. Abundant living. So many people are like, I just don't understand. You know, I gave my life to Jesus. I don't understand why I'm not experiencing the abundant life. The abundant life is not there for everybody that prays a prayer, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. The abundant life is there for everybody who becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't even know where my notes are, but I'm not going to worry about it. Listen, the disciples, they dropped their nets and they followed him. They did not pick the easy path. The easy path would get up tomorrow and go fishing again. They picked the hard path. Yes, I'm going to lose my identity, and for months after months, I'm going to be right here behind you, hearing every word you say, seeing everything you do, and doing my very best to learn everything I possibly can from one moment to the next with you. They picked the hard path. Guess what they got? A front seat to every miracle. A front seat to miracles of healing and calming storms and raising the dead. Folks, they had an abundance I would die for. And I can. I'm just going to have to die for it. It's called fully surrender. And yet when we fully surrender, there's where we're going to see God saying, I will do amazing things because of your submission to me. I now have a vessel to use because you have surrendered to me. Oh, hallelujah. This abundant life in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and put the note up there. We're going to have an eternal life. Would you stick that up there? I can't say original to this. I went to a conference on a Friday night, and I heard a guy say this, and it stuck with me. We're going to have eternal life someday, but we can have an abundant life today. We can have an abundant life today. Because those disciples were living in the abundance of God. He could make food out of a boy's lunch. He could calm a storm and let them all go sleep in the hull with him till they got to where they were going. life turned around completely as a disciple. Downhill is easy. It requires less effort. Mainline churches, modern Christianity, that's the path they're choosing. Doesn't cost anything. Uphill is hard. It's intentional. It's time consuming. But his disciples are choosing it because there is something there that is of greater value than anything I can find in this life. The question is what are you choosing? What are you choosing? Can I just challenge you with this? If you don't have hard choices coming up fairly often in your life, you are probably on the easier path. See, the thing about following the Lord is there comes tough choices all the time. You're challenged by the enemy all the time. You're challenged by the culture, and you have to make that tough decision. I will serve the Lord, though none go with me. Still, I will follow. If there's not any hard choices, you might want to stop and consider if you're coasting. I like what John Maxwell, you may know him, I've read some of his stuff, but John Maxwell said this. He said, everything worthwhile is uphill. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Jesus has invited us to relationship and a way. Now, that first part is where everybody jumps up and goes, ah! Pray this prayer, have this relationship. But he doesn't just invite you to a relationship. He invites you to a way to live life in him. That's what the invitation is. That's why we're going through all this, taking so much time methodically to just work our way through it. It's because the calling of God is not just to a relationship where he's Lord, but it's that you do the things that he says. That you enter into that road of discipleship and path that leads into becoming more and more like him. I mentioned to you a minute ago about James and John dropping their nets. They never saw on even the best day of fishing what they were going to see over the next few months. They couldn't imagine, probably. I doubt anybody could have imagined. Oh, let's drop our nets. We're going to see miracles. Had no clue what was waiting. And I say to us, the devil has cheated most people because they have no clue that what they really desire and what they really want to see is just waiting for their decision to be so fully surrendered and to go all in. And there it is. And then it begins to happen. You see, I think the offer that he made to them is the same offer he still makes to us right now in the 21st century. It is come and be with me. It is become like me. And then you will do the things that I did. And we see that. Folks, that's the Bible. The Bible says it very clearly. All right, I'm going to wrap up. You know how I went late last week? I'm catching back up right here. One more thing on the notes I want you to see. Put that last one up there, please. Discipleship is a process for becoming the spiritual, for producing the spiritual progress he desires in us. You know, it shouldn't shock us that there is a process that develops progress. That shouldn't be a shock. That's the way it is. You're going to build something, there's a process. There's a process for how the Lord is building his church, and it is discipleship. It's the process, is discipleship. What does it produce? It produces spiritual progress. You see, the problem is we've not had discipleship in place, therefore we have not had anything that measures the progress of whether we're growing in the Lord. So therefore, we've just been going, everything's fine, everything's good. Folks, if we're not reproducing after the kind of the Lord, it's not good. It's not measurable progress. you ought to be further along from 1 year to the next in your walk with Jesus. You ought to be able to see greater power in your prayers. You ought to be able to see deeper understanding of the teachings and the ways of God. This stuff ought to be happening. Discipleship guarantees it will. But it's your choice. It's my choice. Discipleship is what I call the school of ministry. It's hands-on. It's not about just a whole bunch of knowledge. It's about how we use it. It's hands-on. And that's what we're going to get into next. Would you stand with me? I want to invite anybody here to, at any point, to come catch me or call me during the week, whatever, and say, Pastor, I really want to know every discipleship opportunity that the church is going to be having going, because I need to develop my spiritual walk so that I am able to be used of God to do the things that God wants done. You keep asking because we're putting them in place. Because you know what? LaBette County needs us to be a light and a right direction. Tonight, 5 o'clock, if you can, I encourage you to. Don't say prayer changes me, and it changes everything about me. That's why I need to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. I thank you personally for your great patience. I don't know how many times in my own life I would have gotten discouraged and said, forget it. But you have continued to work to help the church in America get back to the fundamentals of our faith so that we can be blessed by your power and your authority to do the things that we're supposed to do. Lord, I pray that you're stirring hearts. I pray that your conviction is resting upon those who are coasting and are being challenged by, not me, but the Holy Spirit, to fully surrender so that you can do what it is you're trying to do in their life. Lead us by your Spirit into a deeper relationship and commitment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.